Hey there. And we're back. Stripe Show Podcast on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. There he is on site. Let's just get right to it. Mr. Keith Stewart at Read the Line, coming to you from Quail Hollow. What are you, sitting in Rory's locker or what? What do you got going there?
I am in the tournament director's office. There was a little scheduling conflict with SiriusXM. So they gave me the senior guy's office, and they kept the podcast chamber. So
all right,
call it what you want.
Hey, we'll take it. Right, we'll take it. You're on site. You've been looking around. You ran into Ben Coles earlier this morning. You were telling me on site. How was he? Everything on the up and up with Ben?
Bogey Ben. I didn't see any marks on his wrists or anything, so I think he's no worse for wear, and he's competing hard.
That was a tough watch, you know? I mean, that was the only bogey on 18, of course, that day. And
yeah.
Look, no one – it's hard to say this, right? I mean, like, if you're analyzing this like we do, and you call it a spade, which I feel like we do, I mean, that was the C word, wasn't it? And that was the choke.
Oh, that was all pressure. No doubt. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't think you have to use the choke word. I mean, I just think that people will be critical of Ben in that moment, but those are the people that have never been in that moment. All right. It is literally like an outer body experience. I mean, how many times, like, you go back to Vandeveld, or you go back to Jordan Spieth, you know, leading the Masters in 2016 and putting two balls in the creek. I mean, things happen. Yeah. That it is a skill to be able to keep your mind focused on the task at hand when, you know, the clown car pulls up and then there's like, you know, 40 clowns running around the green and you're like, man, what is happening right now? This is the craziest thing ever. And it's hard. It's really hard.
It is. It is. And yeah, there's no doubt it was pressure. It was nerves. It was all of that.
Yeah.
You know, in the bunker, that bunker shot had some nerves to it, but the pitch shot out of the rough, you know, you call it what you want on why it happened from a technique standpoint, but it just looked like there was some decel there. And when the club has decel and you're not going with it, it bottoms out a little soon. It chews you up and then you're trying to save it. And it's just, you know, it's a tough watch, and everyone that watches that, look, I think we've all been there. I've been there. You know, choking is a tough word to listen to. It seems a little harsh. But look, at the end of the day, the nerves got the best of him. And look, you had to be surprised, I would think, number one, but then happy quickly thereafter, because your boy Pendrith won. And if you watched the show last week, you know, we gave you two guys that we liked in kind of the longer odds. You were talking about Pendrith. I was talking about Knapp, both the guys coming down the stretch right there. I got some DMs from Instagram and said, wow, you guys were right on this tournament. I was going for Knapp. I had the win ticket on him, also a top 20. I had Pendrith in the top 20 as well. So, you know, I had a nice week. But look, you hit him at 100-1. How fat is your wallet right now?
I mean, that's four wins in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
My wallet's not just fat. It's scorching hot. I mean, give it to me, man. Give it to me. Right?
Hey, man, that's what you do. You're the expert. That's why we got you on every single week. I was happy for you. I mean, I was, you know, I'm a competitor. I want a nap. We were texting. I texted you early, you know, as far as, oh, look at that. What do you got going there in your screen? Look at that.
Hey, I mean, you read the line.
Now you're going to.
You get fireworks, right? Okay. I mean, 3 weeks ago, Nelly and Scotty parlay hits 30-1. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, LA Championship Hannah Green plus 3,500. Mm-hmm. Last week, 100-1 Taylor Pendrith. I mean, you could say all you want about Ben Coles. I wasn't upset with Ben Coles. I wasn't. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying I was rooting for the other guy. I mean, it was funny. I'm sitting there. I'm watching with my wife, and the putt that almost lips out but drops on 17 to save par. She goes, that's different than the Wyndham putt. And I said, don't say another word. I said, don't say another word. I said, those types of things need to happen. And then, you know, she needed a full breakdown on what needed to happen on 18. And then it happened. I assumed we would get to a playoff, and then was hoping for the best, and length and talent would win over. But at that point, Ben Coles had played unbelievable to get to that.
Absolutely.
And he stones it on 16, makes a 20-footer on 17. You got to give the guy all the credit in the world. It just that poor outer body experience he had on 18. You got to feel for the guy. But having Pendrith, my focus was in another area.
Well, that's look. We talk about that a lot here. We talk about you can look at the stats, you can look at recent form, you can look at the pedigrees players, and look when you know on a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday, all these things are happening, and then there's situational golf. In any sport, there's situational sports.
Sure.
And you put yourself in that moment, it hits you, and then how do you respond? Do you elevate, or do you protect? And Ben Coles protected. And it chewed him up. And so hopefully he learns from it, and hopefully he's better for it. So the next time he's in that situation, he elevates. And look, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's like you either have it or you don't. And I think you can kind of – I guess that's a different kind of discussion that we could have, and you can learn, obviously, to elevate. I think you can do that. You know, experience certainly plays into that. But some guys, man, they just have it. You know, they have the dog inside. You saw it with Brooks Koepka. I mean, they just keep going forward. Tiger, obviously, he just, you know, he'd be up three and he just wanted to bury it. And then he wanted to be four and then he wanted to be five. And it feels like Scheffler has a little bit of that in him. And so hopefully Coles, you know, gets better from it. He seems like a really good dude. Obviously, he played very well, to your point, 16 and 17. And then the moment hit. It's time to win a golf tournament, and he couldn't get it done. Pendrith walked through the door. I was a little surprised, really, still at 100-1, because we talked about with Pendrith and how many birdies he makes. This guy's a birdie machine, and you have to make a lot of birdies at TPC there. So I was a little surprised that his odds were as long as they were, considering that it was a really good fit for him, and you were all over it and talking about it.
If you go back to fall, winter, and you look at a lot of our Tuesday shows, Taylor had five top 15s over the course of like a seven tournament stretch. He'd been playing very well. Then that shoulder problem kicked in, and then he missed the cut in like four or five events this early spring. But then when he goes to Punta Cana and plays Corrales, T11, great comp course for TPC Craig Ranch. And then a week later, he goes and he plays with his countryman, Corey Connors, and finishes 11th at the Zurich. Another pretty good comp course, not just because you're going to make a lot of birdies, but it's long, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, well, this guy's letting the shaft out. He feels pretty good. And if he's anywhere close to the form that he was in the fall and the winter, this is a perfect setup for him.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I just want to add one thing. About, I mean, we're having fun with Ben Coles, but Ben Coles is a winner. He won four times on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. He won their Order of Merit. Ben Coles is going to win at some point on the PGA Tour. You know, I feel bad for him in the moment. I was very happy for all of our viewers and for all of my readers and everything. But I will say this much. You know, I want to be on the record just to say Ben Coles is a winner and everything. And as far as last Sunday went, man, I'm just thumbs up for Taylor Pendrith.
Right. Look at you. We got the fireworks going off in the backdrop. I mean, this guy's unbelievable right now. Can hardly fit his head in the screen. All right. Let's move on. Last thing I'll say about that. No, I don't want to move on yet.
All right.
Byron Nelson, man, that tournament, because we talked about like, you know, how many times I went to it when I was young and my sister living there. And I shared with you the winners of three tournaments that we were at in Ernie Els, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods. Man, it has fallen off. That golf course, they have to move that to a different place. That golf course, I know they had a lot of rain, but it doesn't show well. It's not a good event. They have got to find a different venue and try to recapture the Byron Nelson, a little bit, because it's just not where it needs to be right now. It's just my opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean, had they not had epic amounts of rain, I think that the guys would have had more birdies actually.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Yeah. You know, I think that, there were a lot of situations where the rough was a little thick and, you know, nappy and everything because of all the wet weather and, you know, the fairways weren't that great. So like, yeah, it didn't show well on TV. They had a lot of weather. Obviously, if you look at the Houston area and the weather they dealt with, but like, overall, it's just not a good draw. And at the end of the day, if you're one of these guys that's like in that not the chalk guys, not the top 10 in the world, but if you're in that like 15 to 40 range on the official World Golf rankings, there's no benefit to you going there other than if you lived in the area, because basically you have a couple bad holes and you don't go. I mean, what was the cut? 6 under par? And, mm-hmm. and you don't make 6 under par or more in the first 2 days, you go home, and there's just really nothing that, that separates Ben Coles from Wyndham Clark. You know what I mean? Like, and trust me, there's a big difference between those two guys. And, you know, that type of golf course doesn't do that. I mean, I guess it's fun in the fall to go to those places and see a lot of birdies and make it entertaining. But, at this point in the season, the reason that I'm so excited about this week being down in Charlotte is that this is a perfect warm up for the next for the next major championship for the PGA, right? Like Quail Hollow is, oh man, Quail Hollow is, if Augusta National is a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, Quail Hollow is a 9. I mean, this place is exquisite. It's in impeccable shape. They treat it like Augusta National, the whole facility, everything that we do. You know, it's just, they should have a better golf course there.
Yeah, I think Byron would be a little disappointed right now in kind of where it's at. That's just my take. Anyway, let's move on. All right, Quail Hollow, we're here. Wells Fargo Championship, great event. Valhalla's next week. We know that. PGA, excited for that. But this is an elevated event. We've got a good field. Scotty is not there, so he's going to give another opportunity for some other guys to go up there and actually get a W. But you, share with the audience here how good this course is, kind of what we're looking for. For a player, you know, you look at some of the previous stats here, you're going to have to make some putts. We know that. Obviously, approach game is going to be important, but, this is a good golf course. What kind of player are we looking at?
Oh, this is the perfect preview for the PGA. I mean, they're both a par 71. They're both right around 7,600 yards. So let's just start. If we have a big boy golf course, you're going to need the big stick, right? You're going to need to be able to drive the ball here. The average, PGA Tour driving distance is around 284 yards. Here on property over the years, it's 301. It's 17 yards longer, right? Look at the last couple of champions. You've got guys like Max. You've got Rory's won here 3 times. You got Wyndham Clark. He's uber long, right? The second thing you got to be able to do, well, heck, I mean, if it's 7,550 plus yards, right? That means that we've got some length out here, and 9 of the 11 par fours are over 450 yards. Yeah. 53% of our approach shots are over 175 yards, and a third of them over 33% come in from over 200 yards. So long iron game, and you got to be an elite driver of the golf ball. And the third thing is, and this is actually the most important statistically, is that the winners here, they putt well. They just do. Now, Augusta has shown that you cannot be a good putter and win there, but you have to be a good putter, certainly this week, but it helps to be a good putter and a good player when you come to Quail Hollow, because over the last 10 times we played here, now remember, in 2022 in prep for the President's Cup, in 2017 in prep for the PGA Championship, we did not have it here at Quail Hollow. So you got to go back 12 years, but the last 10 winners here at Quail Hollow have gained over 6.5 strokes versus the field over 4 days with their flat stick. That's an epic a lot, of strokes. You know, so for me, I want a guy who can really putt. I want a guy who has a great long iron game. And then I need an elite driver of the golf ball. And it's a shame we lost one of them. Yes, we knew Scotty wasn't coming. So no big story there other than the fact that, you know, and he's not on social media. If the baby hasn't happened yet, we got problems for Louisville. But that's a discussion for another day. But we lost Ludwig yesterday. You know, he withdrew. Bad knee, and they said he needs some rest before, you know, he gets ready for Valhalla, and he'll be playing next week. But, you know, he would have been almost the perfect guy here between his driving and his long iron game. Maybe the putter needs to get a little bit better, but you know, the top of the board is well balanced with some threatening guys for sure in order to take this down without Scotty in the field.
Yeah. You got it filled up plus 6 to your point with the putter.
Yeah.
Some length to your point. Short game, you know, way down the list here. You can really push the short game down. You don't have to, you know, be +3, +4. I think when I've seen a lot of the winners, they were right around, you know, zero. I think I think Holman, when he won, he was -2. Now that was at Potomac though, back in 2022. So, you have to throw that out, but short game, I think you could push down a little bit to your point. You got the longer par fours. That's certainly one of the metrics that I've put into the model. Some longer mid to long irons, right? Into these greens, being able to throw it up in the air. And then a lot of it looks like one of the stats that kind of jumped out to me is you're going to have to make them a little bit more of kind of the 5-footers, you know, 5-6 footers.
Oh, you're going to
put a little more stock into that in knocking those down, but you can't fake here. You're going to have to fill it up with the putter for sure.
Now there's a lot of talk too, because as part of the GCSAA report, Quail Hollow put out their own memorandum, and they did some work to the golf course since the last time we've been here. So since Wyndham won a year ago, they put out a report that said that 12 of the greens have been softened. They added 25 yards to the 16th hole. So that par four is now 529 yards. So the green mile just got a little longer.
That thing is beast mode.
Oh, I mean, 529 yards. Yeah, it's downhill, but to a peninsula green, I mean, ridiculous. Yeah.
16th brutal.
Oh, great, great championship hole.
Really is.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about par three. Yeah. You want to talk about the finish last week being, you know, kind of a little entertaining, you know, don't ever touch the money before the last three holes are done here. I mean, anything can happen at this place, you know, 18's proven it. 17, God only knows what you could do with that. Again, peninsula green out in the middle of the lake, 200 yards. On a Sunday. And then of course now with the added length to 16, but what I was more interested in is like looking at the softening of the greens and walking around this morning. And I think that if we were already featuring putters, this is only going to be a bigger advantage to guys that can really putt.
Yeah.
Because some of the swales and everything were so, specific and mm-hmm. you know, like, the movement in the greens and everything, it's starting to limit pin positions that over time, I mean, this golf course is 50 plus years old. So like over time with green speeds and agronomy and the way that that we know how to take care of grass now, you know, they were losing hole locations and they had to gain some back. So this is, so the difference in the ridges and everything and the swales and the movement of everything is still there, but they kind of softened some of the areas that they wanted to in order to get some pin locations back, which I think is only going to be a bigger advantage to the guys that can putt.
Yeah, the back nine is really fascinating here because you have three of the easiest holes.
Yeah.
And then you have the four toughest holes. And so, like, you know, 10's the par five. It's the 15th handicap. But then you get to the last five holes, right? 14, short easy. Par four, second easiest hole. Yep. 15, par five, easiest hole.
Yeah.
And then you go 16, which is the third hardest hole, 17, second hardest hole, 18 hardest hole. So it's fascinating back nine. It really is. We'll give you some birdies on, 14 and 15, but then you get hit in the face and lengthen out 16. I can remember real quick before I forget this, because I'll forget. I can remember when PGA Tour Live first started, when I was part of that team back then, we were there on site. And this is when it kind of hit me. When we're in the distance era, right? Like you knew something was different. And I remember watching on 16 and the coverage was going, I think it was NBC, and they were showing 16, the breakdown, right? And okay, we're going to, you know, dog leg, right? It's over here. You're going to hit over here. Like you see the tracer and then you got to hit it over here. And DJ steps up there on 16 and hits it over the top of the trees.
Oh yeah.
And goes right over the top. And the camera guy was like, where the hell the ball at?
Yeah.
Cause you know, everyone's thinking he's just going to hit it out here to the corner. And that was like the first time, I can't remember exactly the year, but it was the first time it just kind of hit me. I was like, okay, that was different. Like no one was expecting that. No one was expecting that shot off the tee. And so fast forward, right? Let's move it back some more. And, you know, so we don't get that. You have to kind of play it out here with the rest of the world. So I can remember that happening like it was yesterday on 16 and such a good hole. They've lengthened it out. It's going to be an absolute beast. 17 is great par three. 18 speaks for itself. The green mile. All right, let's get into it. Who in the world are we going to get to? We call this the first look. Give it to my man first. Talk to me.
Sahith Theegala. Right around 30 to 1. It just, he absolutely fits the bill here. Now, a year ago, it's a signature event, 156-man full field. Oh, wouldn't that have been fun? But it is what it is. We have 69 left after Aubert dropped out yesterday, right? Doesn't matter. As good as Sahith is with the putter and his short game, he is now equally as good with his long game. And that was the mistake last year. He lost like 3 strokes to the field off the tee. And now his ball striking. So over his last 5 starts, he's gained over 6 strokes versus the field. And it's almost 50-50 between the putter and his ball striking. So for me, I mean, and you see it in the signature events. In 5 signature events this year, Sahith's finished 2nd, 2nd, and the 6th. He was 9th at the Players. I love this kid. And he's all business when he's out here. He looks very happy-go-lucky, and I think people are confusing him with his dad, who is very much like his fan when they show him on TV. Sahith is very focused, right? Mm-hmm. Former player of the year at Pepperdine. I mean, and he did it during COVID where he didn't get to play for a national championship. And this guy has just continued to build momentum in his career. And much like another champion here in Max Homa, he's won at Fortinet. And I think that this is really – a big win is coming for Sahith, and I'm not sure that these guys in the elite level we're at, well, anyone's at Scotty's level, but like, I don't know if next week is his thing, but something like this or something like Travelers or whatever really fits for Sahith. And I just love him this week. I think with that putter, I think it's a huge edge, and he's going to have the ball in the fairway. That's why
I think it's great. And on my social, I posted about some of the improvement that Sahith has made. He just seems to be a much cleaner striker of the golf ball. And you know, the driver is a weapon. The approach game has been, his driver has really improved. His approach game has been good. And you can look at the picture that I've put up there for those watching on YouTube, and I'll explain to our audience that's listening. But the picture on the left, like Sahith would get a little short in his turn, the shaft would get a little laid off. And then the picture on the right. Now, I took this picture on the right at TPC. I watched him practice for a while. And I've been kind of following his journey a little bit and kind of what he's been doing to improve here with the driver. And you can see the biggest difference there on the right. Look at the shaft. I mean, it's much more complete and pointing down the line. And so I think it's pretty obvious to me that he's trying to get the shaft point more down the line. He's trying to complete that turn. Yeah. He's trying, not to get short in the turn and then the shaft gets pointing a little too left. Now you can overcome that, I think, a little bit with the iron. I think the driver gets a little bit more problematic, especially when you lean the shaft as forward as Sahith does. So, yeah. You know, I just think I love what he's doing with his backswing, and I think it's paying off. He's becoming a much better driver of the golf ball. And not only is he more accurate, when you do this, folks, and I've talked about this a lot, when you kind of make these kinds of adjustments, and this is similar to what Xander's doing too with his driver, you get more accurate, but you get longer too. You know, you get longer because your turn's more complete. So I'm with you, man. I'm a huge Theegala fan. I think this is a great spot for him. When you texted me last night with it, you beat me to the punch because I was going to, you know, Theegala is one of the first names that I put down. I think he's a great, great bet. I agree with you that he's going to be in the winner's circle in a big event here very soon. Yep. Wouldn't be surprised if it's this week. And that narrative carries over to what kind of this next guy I'm going to show you. All right, so I know we need someone that – we need positive 5 or 6 with the putter. And when you look at Akshay, won at Valero, look, everything's trending up for this guy. I mean, this is going to be one of the big names on the PGA Tour with Ludwig for years to come. And he's on a great run right now. He is playing some terrific golf. He is a ball-striking machine. With his irons. I mean, an absolute ball striking machine. And his putter has really improved. It is time for people to look at Akshay. His putter is no longer a liability. You look at the last five events, positive in strokes gained putting. We're talking to the tune of positive 3.5, positive 2, positive 2.5, positive 2. Now, we got to get at the positive 5 and 6, and I get that, and that's where we need maybe a little bit of a special week here with Akshay with the putter. But I think he's trending. I think he's on an all-time high with confidence. He's got plenty of length off the tee. He's going to wear you out with his irons. He's going to have plenty of looks. Let's get it up there, positive 4, positive 5 this week, which he's done before with his putter. It's not like he hasn't done it. He did it at the Farmers earlier this year. He did it at the Century earlier this year, both positive 5. I'm telling you, man, Akshay is coming, and so is Sahith. And both of these guys, I think, are on the verge of a big, big win, their biggest in their career. And I wouldn't be surprised to see both of them in the first page of leaderboard. And I went with Akshay, you know, the safer bet, what probably would have been Xander. We know this is a great spot for him and some others. But I wanted to, you know, give the people something to think about. And I think Akshay is a guy that we're going to be talking a lot about, including this week at a signature event.
He's only finished outside the top 18 once in his last five events, and that was Augusta on his first trip, and he was 35th. North Carolina kid, so if he's used to the agronomy, you know, he grew up here. As long as the putter works, I mean, the approach game works. He came here last year in a signature event, made the cut, and certainly he's a much more accomplished player now. He's won twice since then. You know, similar to the way I feel about, you know, if you're looking at the chalk, I feel about Wyndham. You know, Wyndham was ranked 80th in the world when he came here last year. He's now ranked 3rd. And you can say what you want about LIV and everything else, but in 10 months, he won 2 signature events and a U.S. Open. You know, how many people did that?
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing I'll say, Keith, real quick about Akshay is this. This is the second time around, right? With these tournaments, and you come out and you play these tournaments, and you're learning a lot about these golf courses, and what it takes to be a pro, and traveling, and all these things, and you're trying to focus on your game, right? And Akshay turned pro at a very young age, and you know he's handled it very, very well.
Yeah.
And so now here he is, a little more mature out there. He's got a couple wins under his belt, you know, and now he's seen the golf course for a second, third time, and I think that matters. There's a lot of experience that I've played in. He's coming into this place knowing that, hey, I check a lot of boxes here. I'm putting as good as I've ever putted. There's no reason why I can't come out here and win. He's proven that he can beat these guys. And I think when you look at the top of the board, which I want to go to now, you know, we've talked about this. There's a lot of weaknesses and a lot of guys not playing up to their level. And I think this is where the door opens a little bit more for some of these guys to come up and capture big event. So you got Rory, you know, at the top of the board there at 7-1. We know he likes this place. Xander, look, you can make a case for Xander anywhere. The question is, can he actually get it done, you know, down the stretch? Wyndham coming in, we know he's doing a lot of good things, 14-1s. But you know, Cantlay's not playing great. Homa right now kind of spinning his wheels a little bit. Morikawa has struggled. Cameron Young, the putter's a question mark. You know, there's question, Justin Thomas. There's a lot of question marks with a lot of these guys. So my question to you, on these question marks, if you go to the top of the board, who do you lean on for our audience? I'd put my money here.
I think the answer to that question is really easy. You know, I could go down every single guy on that list, and there's only one of them that's finished runner-up to Scotty a bunch of times. Already won a signature event this year. I mean, in 5 signature events this year, Wyndham Clark has a first, a second, and a third. You know, the guy is legit. And he, if not for what Scotty has done, I mean, he had back-to-back runner-ups against Scotty at API and then at the Players. You know, so it's, for me, I mean, I think the only guy at the top of the board, other than Xander, but I have a tough time with Xander at 10-1 when he hasn't won since July of 2022. The guy's got 7 top tens this year. At some point, that creeps in his head, you know? Yeah. I mean, I think there's more value here for Rory at 8-1 than there is Xander at 10-1. You know, Rory's won here 3 times. And, you know, leading, I mean, it would be a perfect Rory story to win this week and then go to Valhalla where he's already won and hasn't won, hasn't won a major in 10 years. That was the last major he won at. And then to go there and then, you know, finish top 20 or something like that, but win this week and just create more of a fervor around McIlroy, you know? And, but for me at the top of the board, it's just Wyndham Clark. And people will say, oh, Keith, you know, no one's ever repeated here or whatever. How'd that work out at the Players? The best player wins.
Yeah.
Right. Scotty went back to back because he could. Right. And right now, Wyndham, he won here last year at 19 under. He won over Xander by 3 shots. And don't ever forget, in that last round, they both teed off together. Xander was ahead after a couple holes. And I was going to say this earlier. Everybody talks about the green mile. But the first 3 holes here are a really difficult start. They average almost 3/4 of a stroke over par. Right? And in that little restart there on Sunday, for the beginning of the 4th round, Xander was ahead. And Wyndham came back over the close of that tournament. And he won by 3. This golf course is a perfect fit for him. And we all know he's confident because, I mean, the guy only opens his mouth to change feet. So, like, at the end of the day, like, he's got to be loving coming here. Last year, he was 80-1 long shot. He was 80th in the world. Now he's 3rd in the world. He's got to be licking his chops. I mean, if you love, like, 2-week parlays, I mean, name me a guy at the top of the board here that you would feel better, because Scotty's not here, about betting here and Valhalla. Both par 71s, both 7,600 yards, both require great driving and great putting. Name me a better putter at the top of the board there.
Well, on his putting.
Yeah.
The adjustments that he made, you got to go back to the adjustments that he made at Pebble Beach on his putting and just absolutely flipped the switch. And he went positive 7. Of course, he won at Pebble Beach. Struggled a little bit after that, but then kind of really settled in and has putted brilliantly outside of his play at the Masters where he missed the cut.
Yep.
But, I mean, 2nd Arnold Palmer, 2nd at the Players. We're talking positive 5, positive 6 putting, exactly what you need at this place. We know he can putt here. Last time we saw him was at Heritage, positive 4 in putting.
3rd place.
You know, look, the only hole that I would shoot through Wyndham, his iron game hasn't been quite as clean the last couple times, the last 3 times we've seen him. All right. So,
sure.
Hopefully he's worked through that a little bit, but make no mistake, Wyndham Clark has elevated him into a top tier player on the PGA Tour. There's no doubt about it. And once again, and it really pisses me off, I'm a little bit in agreement with you here at the top of the page, because look, the only other guy that I would point to, is Xander, you know, in a top 20, right? Which you're not going to get great odds, but can Xander situationally get it done down the stretch? I would certainly put my money on Wyndham, which I'm getting better odds at this point around the 14 range at Wyndham versus Xander at 9. And, you know, where's Rory's head at, right? And one thing I thought of with Rory real quick before we go down the board, I want to throw this up there. I was looking through this and I was texting with a guy that is in the media on Golf Channel. All right. And I said this to him. And I said,
it's mysterious. You know,
I said, like, the difference in those two when Rory was winning everything on the right, younger Rory, versus kind of where Rory is now, and we know that left miss has been a little bit more predominant, which you can't do here, by the way, at Quail. And you can see the difference in the wrist angles. And you can see the difference in the shaft pitch, right? And how that left arm's more rotated and the shaft's just pointing a bit more left at the top. It's not laid off, folks. It's just that's on plane versus Rory there. The shaft's a bit more vertical. Now, when you kind of get that little more vertical shaft, it's easier to get the club kind of caught underneath you. And that's where the club face can flip over. Where when you get that shaft a little more on plane on the right, then you can cover it. And so it's like, I like to go back and just look at players when they were playing their best golf and just put that picture up versus maybe when they're struggling, right? And we've done that over the years or over the shows with Scotty and Justin Thomas and those kinds of things. And so there it is, right? And so I was texting with this person and he was like, well, he can't get there anymore. I'm like, what do you mean he can't get there anymore? Like, why? He goes, yeah, I said the same thing. He's like, I said the same thing to him. And he's like, no, I just can't physically get the club there anymore. I'm like, all right, what? Doesn't make any sense to me. Exactly. So anyway, Rory, to me, man, young Rory, perfect at the top, right there on the right. Hands high, shaft pointing slightly left. Go get it. Yeah. Rory on the left, hands a little deeper, shaft a little more vertical, gets it caught underneath. Who knows, right? Rory's always kind of a mystery. And why in the hell would he want to get back on the policy board? Jesus, what is he thinking? Right? Why don't you get on the policy board these days and managing professional golf? Someone else figure that out, that mess. All right, let's move on. Let's get down to the middle of the board. Right here, I'm gonna let you drive the ship here. There's Homa. He's won twice, we know. Once here on this site. Morikawa, Young. Drive us somewhere in the middle. We've already talked about Sahith, right? We've already talked about Akshays. We get into this meet 25, 30, 35 to 1. Where else are we gonna go?
Well, I mean, right next to your boy Bhatia there, there's two very hot names. There's Alex Noren and Ben Ahn. Which one are you buying?
No.
Both are super popular.
Gosh.
You could say none because you've already bought Bhatia in the same range, but a lot of people are probably curious about them going into this week from a DFS or from a betting perspective. So let's get some feedback on those two guys. They both have been playing very, very well lately. They both played well last week, and now they're coming into a place where they're in good form, and they're a good fit.
I mean, but Noren – okay, so let's answer that. Noren is the better putter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you know you're getting the ball striking with Ben Ahn. But at this place, you know, can we go positive 4 or 5 with a putter? So I would give the edge to Noren.
Yeah.
Who was third at AT&T, positive 3 putting. Noren's been playing good golf, man. There's no doubt. I mean, he's driving it well. His approach game, very good. Short game. I mean, there's I'm telling you right now, there's really no weaknesses in his game. Alex Noren, can he get it done, you know, down the stretch in the signature event? So the answer to me is Noren over on.
Again, there's a long list of guys in here with some issues. I mean, look at where Jordan's fallen to already. Jeez. Jordan opened the week around 30, and now he's at 45, right?
Crazy.
But, crazy. I mean, we've got question marks around Will Zalatoris. We know Siwoo Kim can't putt. He's obviously going to – if you're just running a tee to green model, he's going to pop all day long. You've got Jason Day there, who was okay last week, but, you know, certainly doesn't seem like he's in any sort of form like he was last year when he was top 10-ing all the time, and then he won at TPC Craig Ranch. But as we get a little further down there.
And he won an 18, right? He won an 18 here.
He did, yeah. Well, he's won here, yeah. Yeah, yeah. For sure. So, but, I mean, you lean on guys all of a sudden, you know, some of these mainstays, and this is my point I'm trying to make, is that, you know, like the JTs and the Jordans and the Corey Connors and some of these guys that we've kind of like gone to all the time. Now it's like I'm looking for names like Akshay and Sahith and Steven Yeager down here. You know, like everyone's like, oh, Sung J.M., you know, he plays all the time and he's always consistent. He's not been very good this year. Look at Ricky Fowler. He's got a great course history here. Ricky Fowler, the only reason he's in the 60s and not 100-1 is because of his course history. You know, like guys are targeting Noren, Ahn, Shank. You know,
I like Shank. I like Shank this week.
Yeah, he's good. You know, solid putter, and he's shown great ball striking form. You know, it's just kind of interesting how in 2024 this we say it every year at the beginning of the year. You know, you and I raised that question. It was like, okay, 3 or 4 of these guys are coming out of the top 10 in the world, and 3 or 4 new guys are coming in. Right. So, you know. Windy C is in there. You've got Ludwig coming in there, you know, and like who's popping out of there that's not just falling off because of live purposes. You know what I mean? But like some of these names, it's interesting. And one of the guys, and I'm steering around this area, but one of the guys in that like, you know, 50 to 80 land that I really like this week is because he could win this tournament with his putter. And that's Denny McCarthy.
Oh, I knew you were gonna
And I had Denny that McCarthy. Denny McCarthy at 66 to 1 to me is extremely dangerous in this environment because he's an athlete. He is the type of guy that can make, right? He's really good on tough golf courses. That guy had no business being in a playoff at Muirfield Village last year. That place was totally baked out. It was impossible. And he's in a playoff with Victor Hovland, and he's one ahead of Scottie Scheffler, right? Denny McCarthy gets the job done when it's very difficult. It's going to be difficult this week. The tournament organizers know what's coming next week. They want a perfect preview. They want to be remembered. They want to be thought of as something that was equal to the test next week. You could see that the way that they're setting up this golf course, you could see, you know, they brought back some different hole locations and everything. Denny was, he finished eighth here last year and he gained 9 strokes on the field with the putter. This is the type of place, because it gets so hard, his scrambling ability will set him apart and put him in that top 10. And I think Denny's getting close to doing something kind of cool. And again, breakthrough wins here. Wyndham, Max, Rory, Ricky, you know, maybe, you know, I get it. Denny McCarthy's not a superstar to the level of like an Akshay Bhatia, but things have happened at this place. Look at the winners over
there. There's no doubt. Right?
Yeah, we've had a lot of long shots. Wyndham Clark was a long shot. He was 80-1 last year when I picked him on this show. And then guess what? This year, I kind of got this feeling about Denny. Second at Valero, I know the way he lost the playoff. I'm well aware, right? But he got to the playoff by gaining so many strokes. I mean, the guy, that's a TPC San Antonio, that's a tough golf course. And he was 20 under par, right? I feel like he's in good form. I feel like this place is a good fit for him. He knows that. He's an athlete. I'm featuring him this week.
Well, and you need someone to go positive 6-7 with Denny, putting, which Denny does in his sleep. So he just did it at Valero, positive 7-4. We saw him at RBC. He was positive 3.5. His putter has been the bright spot in the short game as well. And it's just interesting. Just how fickle the sport is, right? Last year at this time, you know, I was really touting Denny and his iron game. You could see the improvement and off he goes. And then this year he's just kind of, for the most part this year, has struggled with his ball striking. Now, with that said, I agree with you in that it does feel like it's getting closer. It does feel like he is starting to put some pieces together. He hit the ball very good at Valero. And so the approach games, we're seeing sign. The driver is a question mark for me, but like you don't have to work very hard to convince me of Denny McCarthy. I will probably sprinkle a little bit on Denny down there in those odds. What is he at right now? I'm trying to, where's he at?
66.
He's at 66-1. Yeah, there he is. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, look, Horschel's playing good. Straka's playing good. Those are a couple guys that I think are worth a look. Jaeger, can he win a signature event? It is funny this year how our eyes are going to just a different set of players than what we have seen in years past. It's amazing.
I love it.
It's my good 35-1. Sam Burns down there at 45-1. You know, who knows what we're going to get with Will, and who knows what we're going to get with this guy, Victor Hovland.
Oh.
Who's going to be his coach? Who's going to be standing there working on us? I'm assuming it's Dan Dahlquist, which I think is a good match. I'm glad. I'm hoping that, you know, he can hang on to a coach longer than 10 minutes. But I'm just fascinated on what we see here from Victor Hovland, right? Because, man, all the improvement that we saw with the short game, strokes gain around the green just seemed to have gone away. I mean, he has struggled when it comes to that. Ball striking is taking a little bit of a hit. So hopefully, you know, Dana's kind of pulled him back and, you know, let's get back to maybe some of the basics that have worked out for him in the past. You know, one of them not getting the club perhaps so across the line, which he seemed to there for a while at the Players and all that. But, you know, look, I want Victor Hovland to get it back. I like Victor Hovland. I want him to settle in and just get back to doing the things that he does well. Who Victor Hovland is, his DNA is good enough. We saw that at the end of last year. It's good enough. You don't have to try to make it perfect and to do this. It's a very, very fine line. And hopefully he's learned from that a little bit over the last 3 to 4 months. But Hovland right now, 28-1. You know, there's JT. I was going back through some of his stuff. You know, you look at, gosh, you know, when JT could putt, you look at this setup here, Keith. Closer, taller.
Yeah.
You know, I tell JT.
What year is that?
This was back in, you know, I got to check, but it was like back in 20.
Was that John Graham?
19. No, it was before. John. Before.
Okay.
But look, I've done the comparison. This is when he was putting well. Taller.
Yeah.
Okay. Closer. You know what else I'd tell him? Get in there, look at the hole, and hit it. Hit it, right? Don't this.
Anybody gonna have anybody gonna have more pressure on themselves than him next week?
Yeah.
And is that creeping in already?
God, you know, I just like part of me when I go through this, it's like I want JT to get it back. I want Victor to get it back. You know, I'm a fan of these guys. I want him to get it back. And so it's, you know, I want Will obviously to get back to where he was. And Ludwig now with the injury. Man, I hate to see these young guys go down with some of these injuries. Connor's not a good enough putter to win here this week. Denny McCarthy, I think, is a good one. JT Poston, we know he can putt. Can he do the rest? But now we're getting into the 80s, 90s, 100. There's Pendrith, who won last week. How you doing? Signature event, 110-1. Isn't that kind of funny, though? Isn't that funny? Like, Pendrith makes a million birdies last week and win. And yep. Then the next week, he goes to the next event on tour, and he's 110-1. Like, try to explain that to somebody.
I have a tough time explaining to him last week, but we won. So, thumbs up.
You're not going to bet him this week, though.
No.
Well, you know, look, so there's Knapp, 125. One of the things that I kind of I like is, you know, players are going to turn it around eventually. These guys are going to turn it around. I mean, JT's going to turn it around at some point. Like we said earlier, Scotty Scheffler is going to turn it around with his putting at some point. He did. To some degree. Last week, I preached to you, Jake Knapp. It was time for him to turn it around and get back to what he was doing. And he did. Now, he struggled on Sunday, didn't hit the ball good. His driver hurt him. But he did turn it back around. He looked more like Jake Knapp that we were seeing earlier in the season. Yep. Is there anybody that, you know, that you look at, maybe we start getting down into the middle of the board? A lot of these guys start to get pushed down because they've been struggling a little. Jake Knapp, can he continue here? This week, Brendan Todd's had a decent history here. He could be an interesting, like, top 20 play. He's at 120-1. And there's boy, Webb. Lives on the course. Another sponsor invite. We need someone, Webb. Hey, does anybody want? Webb's like, I'll play. I'm in. Like, Webb Simpson in the field again.
I think we need to throw out a PSA, right? And there's two things you always say every week. When you say, there's your boy so-and-so, you're being facetious all the time. But people need to understand that. And then when you say, like, when we were talking about Pendrith last week, and you were like, you really like Taylor, don't you? Right?
Kind of do.
Then you're being sincere. Like, it's,
yeah, that's,
but they both, I'm just saying, this is more like a kind of a joking banter for a second, yeah. But like, it always cracks me up because, like, at first, when we, over a year ago, we started doing these shows, I was like, I never could understand. I was like, where's he coming from with all this? Like, there's your boy, right? Like, Webb Simpson would ever be my boy, right? I mean, we couldn't be any more polar opposites in personality. So, like, he'd be a tough guy for me to root for. Now, that being said, the guy's a world champion at golf. So, by all means, but like, right now, being on the pack, and just because he's a member here, that's why he shows up. I mean, him and Matt Kuchar, I don't know, maybe they're holding a card game. I mean, you got me, you know, like.
But it's not just this week. I mean, it's been four or five, hasn't it, with Webb?
Well, the same thing could be said for Adam Scott. And up until at least Molinari won, he earned a spot here, right? But these other pack guys, they're just here because they're on the pack.
That's a tough look. I don't like that. That's a tough look.
I mean, there are certainly some names in Myrtle Beach, right, that – you and I would say, okay, versus what Matt Kuchar's done this year or versus what Webb Simpson's done this year. But you know what, though? It's like talking about LIV versus the PGA Tour. You know, I mean, think about it. When the PGA Championship lets in Taylor Gooch, David Puig, and Dean Burmeister, right? Like, they're basically just saying, like, we're not looking at the OWGR. We're taking the best players and putting them in our field. what does that do for the PGA Tour? Mm-hmm. Right? And at some point, if you go on LIV and you can still get into majors because you play great around the world, right? Why all of a sudden does LIV need to help the PGA Tour? I mean, the whole thing is becoming like a bigger and bigger mess. You know what I mean? Because there's so many different independent entities in all of this. You know what I mean? And a characteristic example of all this and why I went on this, I guess, probably senseless diatribe is that the fact that Webb Simpson goes to all these things and he hasn't earned the right to be there. And we criticize it not being a meritocracy, but at the end of the day, think about it, right? Taylor Pendrith earned the right to be there, right? Jake Knapp earned the right to be there. These guys won, absolutely. Right? You know what I mean? And again, Webb Simpson, wonderful history and a member at Quail Hollow, but make him an ambassador for the week. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely guys at Myrtle Beach that deserve the right to be a part of this field. And it should. Last year was a signature event. It was 156 guys. I'm covering the event this year. There's so much electricity in what's going on. And then when you're the guy like Wyndham Clark that goes from the middle of the pack and you go up and win, think about that accomplishment. You beat 155 other people, right? Now it's the same guys are showing up probably on the same private plane, and then they're rolling up, and everything's a little bit too buddy-buddy, you know? And it's like, in my opinion, we need to put the puck in the corner and see who comes out. That's mm-hmm. what I want to see.
I agree. Right?
And I think at the top of the board, Wyndham, because of the way he kind of treats himself and other people, he's one of those guys that's going to get dirty. And we're going to see it over the next 2 weeks. Scotty gets dirty, man. Scotty goes after the puck. Oh. He is a leader. Oh, yeah. He's a team captain, right? Like he's embracing that, you know, and, Brooks is that type of guy. Rom, when he's on, is that type of guy. So like, you know, I feel like somebody like an Akshay is that type of guy, you know, for all intents and purposes. So it'll be interesting. But down here at the bottom of the board in the signature event,
it's tough. It's tough to, tough. Where are you going to, it's just, yeah. I mean, look, I'm going to get back on Knapp. That's my guy. If I had to pick someone back here at the bottom of the board, I mean, Nikitayama's showing, he's not going to do enough with the putter. There's some upside there maybe with some of the things from a ball striking standpoint, but I can't get there. Like I said, Brendan Todd's done okay here in the past. I'm not going to play that though. So, you know, look, 125-1. If you had to hold me to it, I probably would go Knapp, down here at the bottom. And, you know, Pavon, you know, maybe he kind of checks out with some of this mid to long iron game. He won earlier this year. You know, maybe I sprinkle a little him on a top 20.
He's a good enough driver.
Yeah.
But if you combine approach and putting, he's the highest ranked in both in the field.
All right. I'm out on Pavon. I'm out on Pavon. Not sprinkling him top 20. You can't go anybody. There's just no one down there, right? I mean, look. Knapp.
I mean, if you want to go on
skill set. Outside of Knapp, where are you going to go?
I mean, you could go Seabez if you want to go on skill set. If you want to go guys that are playing really well, Austin Eckroat's playing really, really well. Taylor Moore on skill set for this place would be a very good pick. Mackenzie Hughes can putt, and he needs to get on that President's Cup team, and he's not on it now. Same thing with Adam Hadwin. So there's some, Cam Davis is down there, your boy, you know, like he played good here in the President's Cup. He could pull that back. But like, to be honest with you, I have a tough time getting past Denny. And even if you said, just Keith, you got to pick Denny or somebody like Sath, I already told you who my first click was. So, you know, this is the time of year. This isn't January anymore, right? We're not out going to luau's or anything like that. And we're not going to keg parties over there in the desert, right? This is it. We're in a 100-day war right now. It started with the Masters, and Scotty threw the gauntlet down. And if you're not ready, and Brooks already admitted to it, I'm not ready. I let my team down at Augusta. Well, look what he's done since then.
Yeah.
Right? Guys are getting themselves lined up, right? And this week is a lineup week. Par 71, 7,600 yards, going to be extremely difficult, just like next week. Next week we'll just have more rough, essentially, and flatter greens. But, like, at the end of the day, like, this is the perfect preview. And I couldn't be more excited to be down here, obviously with you every Tuesday. So thank you.
Yeah,
thumbs up all
you.
Around.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate you you being here. I know some people had some top 20s last week on some of the longer shots that we put out there, had the win ticket on Pendrith. And yeah. So we're on a roll right now. I think we're starting to see the board. Like, we're getting into it. You know, it's starting to warm up a little bit. Our bodies are feeling good. Our brain's open. We're thinking clearly. You're on site this week. You'll be on site again next week at Valhalla. So I'm excited. We're getting right into the meat of this thing. Got a little money in our pocket. Let's go out and pad this thing up. Keith, you're the man. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week from Kentucky.